This is what I waited for. I love this segment. I love anything to do with movies. As you know, every Friday we do our movie segment. Well, we have a special segment today with Nell Minow, the movie mom from moviemom.com, and we're going to preview the summer movies. Hey, good morning, Nell. Thanks for joining us this early. I appreciate it.
Oh, I'm very happy to talk, and I'm very happy that we've got summer movies coming up with Memorial Day weekend, always a big kickoff.
Now, this really started the summer movie craze with Jaws, right? Before Jaws, there were movies out there, but never blockbuster movies, right?
And Jaws was the big surprise. Nobody expected it. Jaws really created the blockbuster. You know, before that, if a movie made money, that was great. But Jaws made buckets of money and really transformed the idea that particularly that summer is the time for blockbusters and, excuse me, fall is the time for awards movies, serious awards movies.
Okay, so actually an ocean full of money. We'll just say that. Okay, yeah. Let's kick off the movie season with this weekend, Mission Impossible. This is right. The final one, right?
That's what they say. But you know what? If it makes a ton of money, who knows? We could get more. What I liked about this one, what I liked about this one is that they actually brought back a character who had the most minor role in the first one, and he became my favorite character in this movie. I thought it was just wonderful. And Tom Cruise, of course, does his own stunts, no CGI, no stunt performers. And so when they've got one air biplane and chasing another one, so two of these old-fashioned planes with two sets of wings, you can see Tom Cruise hanging off of it, falling off, climbing back on as the planes are just, you know, zooming through the sky. And there's another scene where he's in a sunken Russian submarine under the Antarctic, and every time he moves from one part of the submarine to another, it sort of rolls over and things start falling on him. And, of course, they spend 15 minutes explaining that he'll die instantly if he doesn't have the super diving suit on and he has to take it off. He spends a lot of time with his shirt off in this movie, looking very good for a guy in his 60s.
You got to be nervous if you're the producer of the film and your star of the whole movie wants to do his own stunts, because he gets hurt, you don't have a movie anymore.
Well, that's right. And my favorite story about that is that Matt Damon said that he was comparing notes with Tom Cruise. He was talking about the Bourne movies. He said, you know, we had this one stunt, but the stunt coordinator said it was too dangerous, so we didn't do it. And Tom Cruise said, when my stunt coordinator says the stunt is too dangerous, I get a new stunt coordinator.
That is good. Yeah, the person who says no, I get rid of that person until I find the person that says yes.
Exactly. And he says he wants to make movies until he's 100 years old. So who knows? We may get Mission Impossible, you know, the AARP year at some point.
But, Mission Impossible, but, yeah, the retirement home.
You don't care what it is he's going after. Yeah. I mean, blah, blah, AI, blah, blah. The whole world is at risk, blah, blah. But what you do care about is, of course, he's got this great relationship with his team. And, yes, one of them does die during the course of the movie, quite early in the movie. And of course, the stunts. So that's what we're there for. So you can watch it with the sound off if you want to. It doesn't matter. You just get to see the stunts.
Karate Kid Legends. There's a series that's not going away, huh?
Well, you know, if you had decided to imagine what movie series was going to produce a very different television series that became incredibly popular, the Cobra Kai series, I would never have picked the Karate Kid. I actually talked to the guys who created the Cobra Kai series when I was at San Diego Comic-Con, and they were, you know, basically the kids who had the lunchbox. They were passionate fans as kids, and they just wanted to keep the story going. And now here we are back in theaters again. And this time, we've got the characters from both versions. So you got Jackie Chan and Ralph Macchio are back. And I think somebody will be waxing on, waxing off, and kicking.
I still think Ralph Macchio's best movie is My Cousin Vinny. I just think
that. I do, too. Love that movie.
Even though he's not he's a major character, but he's not the big one.
He doesn't have much of a role in it. But Marissa Tomei, one of the great performers of all time.
Another John Wick movie. This one's called Ballerina.
Yeah, they said the last John Wick movie was the last John Wick movie. But as I said, if it makes enough money, They'll bring it back. And so since, I mean, spoiler, John Wick dies in the last movie, they had to set this one before the last movie. And this one is called Ballerina from the World of John Wick, if you can imagine a more clunky title than that. But Ana de Armas trained like crazy to do all of her own stunts as a ballerina and an assassin. You know, just the two professions that you would imagine would go together.
How to Train Your Dragon. This is a series I didn't expect to take off, but it did.
It did. You know what? The first one really knocked me over. It was so much better than I expected. And there again, I got to talk to the guy who created it. And what's unusual about this, I can't remember another time that there was an animated series. And, of course, then there was a television series. And the guy who created it all is doing the live-action version. And it is a true labor of love for him. He laughed when he told me that the dragon, Toothless, in the movie is inspired by his own pet, who is not a dragon, but I think a cat. And I just loved that first one. I loved the whole series. The third one made me cry. But the characters are so endearing, and the dragons are so imaginative. I think this live-action one's going to be good.
28 years later, there's another. That's like a Walking Dead-type series.
Yeah. The thing that surprised me in the original one, which is 28 days later, and then they had 28 months later, is you think of zombies as kind of slow, but they had really fast zombies. And I still think that first one, 28 days later, had one of the scariest scenes I've ever seen in any movie, because the zombies, of course, were terrifying, especially because they were so fast, but it was the humans who were the most terrifying because of the way they betrayed each other to try to stay alive. I thought that was the most chilling movie. So, yeah, I think this one is going to be good, but I have to tell you, I may skip it myself because I just have had enough of zombies. I don't know how many more zombies I want to watch.
On this TV series, 2.5 Men, the little kid is preparing to ask George Washington questions. That was his assignment. And he says, President Washington, which do you prefer more, the fast walking dead or the slow walking dead films? And that's when it went, the fast walkers.
yeah, absolutely.
Megan 2.0. This might have been a surprise hit, Megan. Kind of a weird looking face on this young lady. It looks like a doll face. Megan 2.0.
She's a robot. That's why. So she looks like a robot. Yeah, it was a shock to everybody how successful that first one was. And there was a very funny parody about it on Saturday Night Live. But it became kind of a cultural phenomenon. And as you could see from the poster, that just as the little girl is growing up, the new Megan is a little more grown up. She's got kind of a more adult looking, well, maybe teenager looking body. And I'm sure she's just going to be just as ruthless this time as she was the last time. When you tell a robot to take care of somebody, no matter what, be prepared for the consequences.
You know what the thing is? I would normally go to the movies to see this, but my wife won't. And I don't want to be one of those creepy old men who sit in the theater all by themselves with a kid. So I don't see it. The Jurassic Park franchise, this one is huge because we have, I can't keep track of all the names because they all have different names. This is Jurassic World, another one coming out.
Jurassic World is another one where, you know, the original Jurassic Park, obviously a smash hit. It is a fabulous, fabulous movie. The sequels have been, you remember the famous Running in the High Heels? I mean, they've been a little bit silly at times. And, of course, there is an animated series that's been very popular with kids. And now we're back in the theater with Rebirth. And, you know, what's it going to be? It's going to be more dinosaurs chasing more people. And,
After the original, never use a porta potty. Remember that scene?
I do. I know.
Never used one ever
well,
since.
Well, the most important thing I learned from the first one is not to clone dinosaurs.
Yes. And I'm sure people have tried. And let's not do it. All right. Is it the Old Guard 2? Is that what I'm looking at here now?
Yeah, the Old Guard 1 had some great fight scenes, and it has a terrific cast. Charlize Theron, Kiki Lane, who I absolutely love, Chiwetel Ejiofor, and some new people are joining. I love this actor, Matthias Schoenhardt, so I'm looking forward to that. Uma Thurman is going to be in it. Henry Fielding, who we just saw in the sequel to A Simple Favor. So, this one's going to be all about the action, as it's about immortal heroes who are very tough. And I'm not even sure who they're going to be fighting, but I'm sure it's going to be exciting.
Let me ask you, is this a Netflix movie?
I think, yeah, it is a Netflix movie.
But they're going to show it in theaters?
No, I think it's going straight to Netflix.
Oh, I don't like that. I'm just a pure movie theater person.
Yeah,
I mean, I just,
it's a different experience.
I know it is. And I know people growing up today don't see any difference, but you and I see a difference. It's got to be.
Oh, sure. And also, it's just part of the group experience.
I know.
You just don't laugh the same way. You don't gasp the same way if you're watching it at home. And you just can't help yourself. You'll check your email. You'll go get a sandwich. It's not the same experience. Yeah.
The Smurfs movie. Now, I took my daughter back in the 80s to see Smurfs and the Magic Flute. I don't know if you remember that movie.
Yeah, of course I do.
Now, the Smurfs, it was like a 75-minute movie, and the Smurfs were only in it for the last 5 minutes or 6 minutes. It was all, and people, these little kids, where's Gargamel? Where are the Smurfs?
Yeah.
And they're screaming because they took a movie called The Magic Flute and tacked on the Smurfs at the end and put it in theaters. And, you know, I took my daughter to all those type of movies. But this is a real Smurfs movie.
This is a real Smurfs movie. The surprise on this movie is who produced it. Rihanna.
Okay.
The Bahamian pop star produced this and provides one of the voices. And I will say that the Smurfs have come a long way. It used to be that every Smurf had, like, the one attribute, and the girl Smurf, her attribute was being a girl. You know, she didn't get to be smart or strong or whatever. But now she's got more of a real human role, or more multifaceted. And I don't know. I'm kind of intrigued by the idea of Rihanna taking it over and making it more high profile. So, yeah, I think Smurfs movies are going to be pretty good.
Was there a human outcry in the streets for Happy Gilmore 2? Was there? Because it's coming out.
I'm not a fan of the first one.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of Adam Sandler. I think he's the laziest person in the history of Hollywood. He just calls his friends up, and they usually go off to some exotic location. But I will say they brought back Christopher McDonald, who I thought was a good villain in the first one. And apparently there are going to be a lot of cool cameos. If you know golfers, you're going to see a bunch of them in this movie. But, I may wait for that one to come on streaming. Oh, it is coming on streaming. That was a Netflix movie. So that's where it should be.
Okay, another Naked Gun film. People don't remember this, but O.J. Simpson, he starred in the original Naked Gun. He's one of the co-stars, right? Was that the film he was in?
He was one of the co-stars, and he will not be appearing in this one.
Yeah.
This one, Liam Neeson takes over from Leslie Nielsen, and it just looks extremely silly. I just think it's very funny that the guy from Taken is going to be doing all of these silly jokes. Pamela Anderson is in it, and what intrigues me about it is that the director is the guy who has done all of the Lonely Island videos, the ones from Saturday Night Live, You Know What in a Box, and the one with Michael Bolton. So I think he's very funny. I love the pop star Never Stop Popping starring or whatever it is that was Andy Samberg that they did. And so the fact that he's doing the directing makes me very intrigued about this.
The Bad Guys 2. I don't remember The Bad Guys 1.
The Bad Guys 1 was one of my favorite animated films of the last few years. It had an incredible cast. Sam Rockwell, Mark Maron, Craig Robinson, Awkwafina, and they're bringing in some more. They're bringing in bad girls this time, too, a whole team of bad girls. And of course, the thing about the bad guys is that they start out as very antisocial, and they're crooks and robbers, and they sort of get turned into good guys in the first movie. It's done with such flair and such style. Sam Rockwell, of course, famous for his wonderful and definitely unique style of dancing. They even had his character do that dance. I really liked the first one, and I know you didn't see it, but one of the best animated films of this year so far was Dog Man, and they had a little short promoting this movie in front of that one, and it got me very excited about it. So, yeah, The Bad Guys 2 is one of the ones I'm really looking forward to.
Freakier Friday. Now, they had Freaky Friday with Jodie Foster was in the original. Didn't they have
That's right.
They had a remake of it, and this is another one, right?
That's right. This is actually the fourth time around for the Freaky Friday movies, because there's also Disney made a musical version. Now, I'm going to tell you a piece of trivia about Freaky Friday. Do you know who wrote the original book?
No.
About the body switching, which, of course, has now been, you know, adapted a million times in movies. It was written by a woman named Mary Rogers, the daughter of Rogers and Hammerstein.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
That is interesting. Okay.
Isn't it? And, okay, so, yeah, Jamie Lee Curtis and Lindsay Lohan are back, and there's another generation, and so there's going to be a lot of body switching in this one. And I think it looks, I think the trailer made it look very, very funny with Saturday Night Live's Vanessa Bayer as kind of a fortune teller who warns them that this is going to be happening. And so I think it's going to be good. Now, I really did enjoy the Lindsay Lohan and Jamie Lee Curtis Freaky Friday version. I thought it was a lot of fun. And I remember that it ended with Lindsay Lohan being singing with her rock group. So I hope that they bring back that rock group's name was Pink Slip.
Well, there's an actress who got her act together again after all her problems, Lindsay Lohan.
That's right. We're really happy to see her back. And, of course, Jamie Lee Curtis is living her best life and having won an Oscar and playing just a hilarious role in the series Sticky. She just seems to be having a blast these days. And, she was also in The Last Showgirl last year. She's just taking on roles that make her laugh, and I think that's great.
The Roses. What's this one about?
Well, I don't think anybody really remembers that after they had huge success with a comedy action film, Kathleen Turner and Michael Douglas made a movie about a feuding couple that was very sour.
Oh, The War of the Roses.
It was supposed to be a comedy, The War of the Roses.
Yeah.
So this is a reboot. Okay, I can't believe you remember that movie.
Yeah, I loved it.
Okay. Well, this is a reboot of that with UK superstars Olivia Colman and Benedict Cumberbatch, with their best friends are played by Andy Samberg and Kate McKinnon. And I have to tell you, I don't know how funny I think it is that couples are torturing each other and insulting each other, but I'm very intrigued by the cast. And if you like the first one, maybe you're going to like this one too.
And the first one was narrated by Danny DeVito, their attorney.
That's right. That's right. He was their co-star.
Yeah, he narrated the whole movie. That was good. The Toxic Avenger. This one came out from some kind of weird studio when it first came out in the 70s, I guess, or 80s.
You're exactly right.
It was kind
of came out one of those studios that, you know, produces movies for $25 a month.
I know,
its cheesiness was part of its appeal. And yet, sort of like Little Shop of Horrors, which was also made like over a weekend, it inspired sequels, a stage musical, a comic book series, a video game, an animated series, and now there's another version. And what I think is really sort of appealing about this one is that the Toxic Avenger, whose nickname, of course, is Toxie, is played by Peter Dinklage.
Oh, yeah, great actor, yeah.
Terrific actor. I don't know how much of him we're going to see under all of the makeup and everything, but it also has Kevin Bacon, Elijah Wood, the wonderful Taylor Page, Jacob Tremblay, who was the little kid in Room, and Jane Levy, who I love. So it's got a great cast. But remember, this movie is going to be very graphic, really not for the faint of heart.
They're doing a documentary on Marvel's very first movie. Do you know what the very first Marvel movie was?
No.
Nobody's going to guess it. Howard the Duck.
Oh, gosh, of course that's a Marvel movie. Huge flop.
Liked it. I was one of the few people that actually liked it. It was a horrible.
You were one of the few people who actually saw it. I mean, that was one of the most famous flops in history, and it was from, I think the people who wrote it are the same people that wrote American Graffiti. Everybody had really high expectations. And
I liked that movie. I felt so bad for that duck, and it was kind of a cheesy duck. I mean, it looked like some kind of hand puppet type of duck. It didn't work well. Can I bring you back for part two of this?
Absolutely.
Okay, we're gonna set a date. I'll call you. I'll get a hold of you later today. We're gonna set a date. I got to get to part two because I'm looking ahead here, and we got Superman, a whole bunch of other things. I mean, this is just the tip of the iceberg, what's coming out this summer. You know what's really sad, though? When they dump a lot of big movies on one day, and you can't go. There was a book written. I'm going to look up the name of the book. It was about the weekend that Terminator 2, Legally Blonde, Red, White, and Blue, I think. And it was three big movies that came out on the same holiday weekend. And it talks about what a mistake they did putting those movies together on one weekend because it can only be one winner.
Barbenheimer seemed to have done pretty well.
I was going to say, that's the rarity because they're totally different audiences.
Yeah.
Totally different. But these weren't.
I don't know. A lot of people went to see both and bragged about going to see both. So, you know, you got a long weekend. You got time to go to two movies.
I didn't really care for Oppenheimer. It was okay.
I didn't care for Oppenheimer either.
Yeah.
I completely agree with you. I thought it was, I admired it more than I liked it, and I don't ever plan to see it again.
You know what they said? This is Humphrey Bogart said when they asked him about the Caine Mutiny movie, he said, it was a good movie, but they crapped it up with a love story. I said the same thing about Oppenheimer. They kind of ruined it with that.
Absolutely. We had four movies come out within a four-month period that were about immensely consequential people and spent much too much time on their romantic story. So we had the Leonard Bernstein movie, the Napoleon movie, the Oppenheimer movie. And what made those men interesting was not who they were in love with and how they treated them.
I know.
It was about the stuff they actually did.
Nell, I got to have you back. This goes so fast when I'm with you. We'll set a date.
We'll talk soon.
Part 2. Thank you. Nell Minow, the Movie Mom at moviemom.com.